Welcome to the Entrepreneurship and Regional Development Podcast. This is your platform to discover groundbreaking research that advances our field and shapes practice across regions and sectors. Today, we have the distinct pleasure of speaking with Malin Tilmar from Linus University and Stefan Kosgaard from the University of Southern Denmark. They recently published an editorial from their special issue, Rural Entrepreneurship Foundations and Future Directions During a Time of Transformation. They co-guest this special issue with William Gardner, Domenico D'Antoni, and Johan Gardefors. It has been published in Entrepreneurship and Regional Development, a journal published by Taylor & Francis. Malin, Stefan, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
Can you tell us what is the origin of this special issue? Why have you decided to address this particular topic?
Okay, if I may start, from my perspective, this journey started in 2021, one can say, emanating from my empirical work. So Linnaeus University is situated in Småland, this southeastern Sweden, surrounded by rural areas. And I experienced an empirical reality with several entrepreneurial initiatives directed towards social and sustainability challenges and sustainability goals. And there were responses not only to the pandemic, but also to the climate crisis, and later to the invasion of Ukraine that was happening. It was about resilience and crisis management initiatives. People had learned from a storm that we had, the storm called Gudrun in January 2005, that they needed to fend for themselves and support each other in different ways. But it was also a concern for the climate crisis. So there were many transformation initiatives going on, which were really needed for the planet and for reaching the sustainable development goals. So there were a lot of, in other words, as Bennett and co-authors would have expressed it, a lot of good seeds of the Anthropocene going on. Looking at it more closely, there was also the redefinition of value, increasing downsizing, and people who had been moving to the rural areas, for example, where we could see that the previous liabilities of the rural areas had actually become assets. So the thinness and the lack of people that is in rural areas actually became assets because people wanted peace and quiet, for example. Especially in the north, we could also see the phenomena of coldcation. We don't write about that so much in the special issue, but it was there. People from Central or Southern Europe coming to Sweden for their vacation because it's a cooler climate in the middle of the summer. There were the food security issues and the local production of foods. It was a shift going on in the rural-urban connectedness, one could say. At the same time, we saw this, if you may say, the dark sides of the rural areas, with the xenophobia going on and increasing dissatisfaction with the society in the rural areas, leading to increased xenophobia and protest voting going on. And this is a phenomenon that has increased and been more salient during this period that we have worked with this special issue, but we saw it already at this time. And we also saw more traditional gender contracts and that the gender equality was not always progressed in the rural areas as in the urban areas. So it's not only positive sides, but also the negative sides. And all this complexity was really going on. We saw that the rural areas were really key in a transformation in this current societal development that we had. So this was apparently happening in the rural areas. But at the same time, the mainstream literature on entrepreneurship and even rural entrepreneurship, less so, but even rural entrepreneurship, the mainstream was still focusing on economic growth as the main goal. So there was some tension there going on, and we saw opportunities. So we started to discuss this with William Gardner, who is our guest professor at Linnaeus University. So we started talking about this and decided to work more on it, have invite to a conference about these issues and bringing in other scholars in rural entrepreneurship to work on this. And that is what happened. We organized a conference and we brought in other people. And I brought in Johan Gadefors, who later on, I think, brought in Stefan Korsgaard. And Bill reached out to Domenico Dentoni. And here we are. How does it look from your perspective, Stefan, then?
A very similar story for me. I've been doing rural entrepreneurship research for quite some years, and a lot of it focusing on endogenous development. How can you create various kinds of value based on rural resources, primarily kind of shifting away from this idea that you need to just invest in rural areas, and if you throw a lot of money at it, it will be okay. And I think there's some real strong insights in that. And I think we also see that in the papers in the special issue, that there's a lot of value in that sort of endogenous mode of thinking of rural development. We've got one of the papers from Vietnam looking at some of the returnee entrepreneurs coming back and really creating wonderful development in rural areas. But there's also, as Marlin mentioned, there's increasing tension in a lot of societies, increasing tension between the rural and the urban. We're seeing this rise of the right-wing populism, which is very much tied with a frustration very much in rural areas about being left behind. There's a really, really interesting literature in geography on left behind places. And I felt like there was an opportunity to create a better connection, a better dialogue, and a more forward-looking dialogue between rural entrepreneurship research and some of these broader developments that we're seeing. So for me, that was really the attraction in getting into this special issue, that it would be perhaps an avenue to engage with some of the broader transformations we're seeing in society, where the rural plays a huge role, both sort of constructively and also a little bit more problematically with some of, for instance, the populist reactions that we're seeing. So diving a little bit deeper into that and beginning to explore how our rural entrepreneurship research can build off of what's been done. So that's the foundation part of what the special issue, and into what does rural entrepreneurship look like in a time where we are experiencing transformations, and we also need to create certain types of transformations where the current models of rural entrepreneurship may not be as effective as they have been in creating small-scale rural development, which is good, but has not solved the problem of, for instance, increasing regional inequalities.
What are the main contributions of this special issue?
What we do, we identify the core of rural entrepreneurship field of research as of today and point to future directions linked to the development that we just talked about and the time of transformations, multiple transformations that we are in. That is, we call for approaches, theories, and models that can capture the complexity and the potential of rural entrepreneurship in these times of transformation. So the main contributions, I guess, is precisely this, that we argue for the need for a paradigm shift from economic growth-centered research to focus more on sustainability, resilience, and justice, where rural entrepreneuring is key, but where entrepreneuring is often collective and built on collaboration with different actors in society as well. We have called it a transformative turn in rural entrepreneurship studies. So it's about putting the transformation to the core of the research and not as a peripheral. So it's about putting the transformation to the core of this research. So, for example, how entrepreneurs engaged with the complex adaptive systems to deal with challenges of planetary boundaries. And the different papers that we have in the special issues exemplify this focus. Perhaps particularly the paper of Inge Hill et al., who provide empirics from an ethnographic study, highlighting how a rural creative hub become an important anchor organization in the community and also contributes to placemaking. The paper of Thompson and Tutcher, I know you have had a special podcast already about that paper, but it argues for an entrepreneurship as a practice lens to study rural entrepreneurship, to uncover the how and the connectedness between context and contextual embeddedness and the agency and practice of entrepreneurship. We also have this paper of Saibatal, who identify and discuss the local socio-institutional resistance to returnee entrepreneurs, which is it's really interesting and really a tragedy for the rural areas that we can come back to. But it's about self-image of rural areas, places where there is no future for the young generation. And that's really a tragedy that we need to work on. We can come back to that. The paper of Garrido Garza et al. That inquire into the role of entrepreneurship in a market-driven sustainability in a developing country. And they discussed the importance of complexity of entrepreneurial agency in this process in a really interesting way. What we do in this editorial is that we summarize the core of rural entrepreneurship research in four thematic points. And it's the creative recombination of local resources that has been emphasized by Stefan Korsgaard, not the least, where entrepreneurs transform the limited resources into valuable assets through innovation and creativity. And that's also exemplified by the Hill et al. Paper in our special issue. It's about the complexity of entrepreneurial agency, the collective character of this agency, and how returnee newcomers bring fresh perspectives. That is also exemplified by the Saibatal paper, for example. The third point that we bring up here is the importance of social embeddedness, local embeddedness, the agency in context, the interconnectedness by practice arrangement bundles, for example, and the socio-materiality, in the Tutcher and Thompson. And last but not least, the creation of multiple forms of value, where the Garrido-Garza paper and the Hill paper are examples of this. For the future directions that we called for, in sum, it's about theories and models that can capture the complexity and the potential of rural entrepreneurship. It can perhaps also be summarized in four different points. The importance of avoiding rural romanticism, also recognizing this complexity, for example, related to the resistance to change, the political polarization and the gender equality issues. It's to integrate the socio-political perspectives that we have talked about now, going beyond seeing rural entrepreneurship as a political response to economic deprivation, but more to expand the scope, to incorporate, transform the multiple challenges that we are seeing. It's about the regional inequalities, the spatial justice, the protest-based voting, and the tensions that is there due to climate and biodiversity crisis and green transformation, for example. It's about further studying the socio-economical and technological trends, what it means with the need for resilience, food security, and also what is happening now with the dissolution of the digital divide. That is, if we have broadband and internet facilities and IT facilities in all rural areas, which is not really the case yet, but we might be getting there. And that has a lot of potential we can come back to. Here also, last but not least, we talk about the methodological challenges, methodological directions for future research. We call for a co-production of knowledge between different disciplines, but not only that, also co-production of knowledge with the rural entrepreneurial organizations that we are studying. For example, such methods could provide collaborations between researchers and entrepreneurs to shape rural futures together, of course, with remaining academic integrity. And that would be how I see the contributions that we are making. Stefan?
Absolutely. I absolutely agree, and a very good summary of what we're trying to put in there. So I can only just add a couple of personal observations on top of that. For me, I think the most interesting thing and where our special issue, both the editorial and the papers in that, might be kind of pointing a way forward is actually a lot of the things that are happening between the lines in some of the papers, and also that kind of like hidden away a little bit, like as questions towards the end. So just to give you an example, the paper by Stella on the returnee entrepreneurs. I think there's a wonderful story of returnee entrepreneurs coming back, overcoming resistance, building valuable entrepreneurial ventures in these rural areas. But if we think about the backdrop of that story, it's really a strong narrative that there is no future for you here in the rural areas, so you have to move to the city. So these young people, they are essentially pushed out of rural areas, and then they have to do a lot of identity work, and they have to overcome a lot of resistance to actually come back and live meaningful lives with and through their entrepreneurial venture in rural areas. Imagine the potential conflict in a country where that is the image. And we see that, of course, also in Denmark, where I live, that narrative exists and is very strong. And it pushes young people into the bigger cities. Many of them, of course, want to move there, have fantastic lives there. But some probably really wanted to stay, but that was somehow not narratively available to them. So I think, and that's not something that is explicitly the focal topic of that paper, but it's a very strong backdrop. And I think that's incredibly informative of where rural entrepreneurship and also rural entrepreneurship research is, and also where it needs to go. There's a similar issue, as you also mentioned, Marlene, in Inge's paper on the rural hubs, where she tells a fantastic story about the development of this sort of culture-based hub and the role that this can play. But then towards the end of the paper, she has some very keen observations about the limitations of that. And first and foremost, the limitations of that in terms of scaling and in terms of actually translating into, for instance, like real jobs in the multiple form. And she poses a question also whether the public sector needs to look at investing in that kind of infrastructure building as well, which is something that's not really discussed too much. You know, we're building, you know, one incubator after the other in some of the urban hubs here in Denmark, for instance. But we don't seem to have figured out how to do something in rural areas to the same effect. So it's kind of, it's this discourse of endogenous development, using local resources to make things happen is very good, but it has limitations. And I think it's also time that we begin to talk more about these limitations and how they play into the broader societal dynamics that Marlin was also talking about. So for me, kind of like the cool things, I mean, were kind of like in the margins of some of the papers. And then when you put all of that together, as of course we also tried to do in the second half of the editorial, as Marlin described, I think we have something that points towards some interesting future perspectives for rural entrepreneurship research that is more engaged with the broader political questions about social cohesion, regional inequalities, digital divides, and so on and so forth.
During your guest editor journey, what was your biggest surprise?
This is the most tricky question. I think process-wise, when it comes to the process of being a guest editor and going through that process, I would have thought that we would have seen more contributions that were really in-depth qualitative studies of rural processes in times of transformation than actually seemed to be the case. We did receive many good contributions to the special issue looking into this process, and the Inge Hill paper, for example, is one of the cases that where we really had contributions with in-depth qualitative studies of these processes. But I thought there would have been more such studies out there than actually seemed to be the case, which actually makes this special issue even more important, because this is the kind of studies that we are calling for. So that was a surprise for me. Maybe it shouldn't have been, but it was. The other revelation for me, content-wise, it has to do with this paper of Seibert Al from about the returnee immigrants that I think both Stefan and I have brought up already, with this tragedy of the rural areas. I meet a lot of entrepreneurs, rural entrepreneurs, who really believe in their localities and their places. Yeah, so maybe I am influenced by that. But of course, there's also this resistance and this negative self-image that young people are encouraged to move away from the rural areas. It's maybe not a matter of surprise, but I came to understand, deepening my understanding of this tragedy of the rural areas, as I saw this paper and as we have discussed this also in the group of editors. So that is something that I think calls for further investigations by other researchers.
Yeah, I agree completely. I would say I'm really, really happy with the papers that we have in the special issue and also the papers that came in. There were many, many, many good papers.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say I had perhaps expected there to be more sort of critical papers coming in. So we're seeing a wave of really, really interesting, more sort of critical entrepreneurship research coming out. We have, for instance, in EID, the entrepreneurialism paper very recently, I think, which is a great example of that. We've got lots of critical stuff coming through in EID and other entrepreneurship journals, which I think is very good, which I think is very timely. But maybe there's a kind of an urban tendency in that as well, like the entrepreneurship theater, for instance, or, you know, some of the neoliberal discourse critiques. Maybe they are urbanized in a way as well. So for me, that I think was maybe a little bit of a surprise. But again, you know, mirroring Malin's point, I mean, that just goes to show the importance of perhaps what we've tried to do in the special issue. And then another thing, which is, again, perhaps a little bit of a minor thing, when we were writing the editorial, I would say the first half came together quite easily with the four points that Malin mentioned earlier about, you know, what are the predominant themes in rural entrepreneurship research that came together very easily, which to me indicates that we have perhaps sort of a kind of like a paradigmatic stability in rural entrepreneurship research. Of course, you know, my colleagues in rural entrepreneurship might disagree, but I think that says that we have a very strong foundation in rural entrepreneurship research that we can build on in then taking these new steps into some of perhaps the also the more critical stuff on rural entrepreneurship. It exists. There's lots of interesting stuff, but maybe mostly at the margins of entrepreneurship research. So if you could bring that a little bit more of that critical reflection into the rural entrepreneurship research, perhaps in EID, I think that would be fantastic. So yeah, those are some of my surprises. But generally, I mean, I'm really happy with the papers that came in, and I think it's a very good special issue. And I think all of the papers have that duality of being very strongly rooted in a very strong rural entrepreneurship research tradition, demonstrating all the strengths of that, and then posing new questions as well. Looking forward, engaging with some new problems, you could argue. So for me, that, I don't know, that's probably not really a surprise, but I mean, that's the outcome anyway.
What are the main implications of this special issue for practitioners in general?
We have implications, of course, of the special issue as a whole and the editorial, and also the individual implications of the individual papers. But if we start with the special issue overall, we have again 4 points. That seems to be the theme in this special issue. We have 4 points. And it's about looking into the socio-ecological crisis to a greater extent, not only for researchers, but also for policymakers, for example. We have the natural disasters and all of this that is happening right now, which really makes the rural entrepreneurship potentially really central for resilience and adaptive responses to what is going on. So rural entrepreneurship is no longer something peripheral that is very clear from the results of the great papers that we have. The second point is what the new food security discussion bringing forth, and this debate of sovereignty and resilience. It also changes the value chains and creates opportunities for localization of food productions, food processing, etc. And that really has implications for rural entrepreneurs and policymakers and managers of these kinds of companies and organizations. For policymakers and politicians, maybe the political destabilization in rural areas that is ongoing and that we have talked about with the sentiment that these places do not matter. And if the population in these places really this feeling, what how destabilizing that can be for society has become really clear. So this urgently needs to be addressed. That's an outcome of this paper as well, this special issue. And fourth, the dissolution of the digital divide, if that is really happening now, and the internet access and all of that is really happening in all the rural areas. This has great potential to transform the asymmetry between rural and urban, if it happens. But that's also, it's also a political question and a policy-making question. We see it ongoing, but it's still not. It's really everywhere. So I would say those 4 points for the special issue overall, first and foremost, and then there are policy and practical implications from the specific papers. I will mention 3. One is from the Garrido Garza paper from Tanzania that is pointing to the importance of joint cross-sectoral effort also. So it's not only the entrepreneurs, we need also efforts from other organizations in society, civil society organizations and public organizations, to enable a less top-down approach to go towards a more joint knowledge co-creation and practice co-creation to address the challenges. We've talked several times about the tragedy of the rural and the negative self-image. That's obviously also something that policymakers need to address, and it's a discursive issue as well. And the Hill et al. Paper who really points towards that policymakers would benefit from supporting the creation of rural agglomerations that can become anchor organizations in rural areas that really have a lot of positive ripple effects. So those are some of the implications. I think for entrepreneurs, it's also about the recognition and creating a visibility for all this important social and sustainability entrepreneurship ongoing out there that's not always paying off in economical terms. And what we are showing in this special issue with different cases and our argumentation is that this entrepreneurship is really key. However, the support system that we have for entrepreneurship, at least in Sweden, is still not really geared towards supporting social and sustainable entrepreneurship. Mainstream support organization is still designed to support high growth companies. So there is a need there for looking into the support system. So that's an important implication as well. And there are many more, Stefan, please add.
Yeah, thank you, Malin. I think that was a pretty good coverage, actually. I would only just add one little tweak on top of that, which would be to say, if we look at the kind of the division that we have in the editorial, it's very much about the foundations and then the future directions. And in terms of foundations, I think we've pretty much established in rural entrepreneurship research, and I think that also comes out in the papers in the special issue, that we have a reasonable understanding of how kind of endogenous bottom-up entrepreneurial activities could create a lot of value in rural areas. We can also see, however, that is not enough. So in terms of implications, both for policymakers and research, I think it's trying to find ways in which to make really strong, big, impactful investments in rural areas that leverages the bottom-up activities. Because without bottom-up sort of ownership, without a strong embeddedness in local foundations and local resources, you almost cannot create change. But if you only have that, that's not really enough. So there's kind of like a paradox or a tension in here where I think we as a research community and also policymakers, they need to figure out how to properly, progressively invest in rural areas. We're seeing it with, in a lot of European countries, we're seeing it with the rollout of sustainable energy installments like solar parks and wind. We're really struggling to find the right model where these necessary developments contribute positively to rural development rather than reinforcing this experience of being left behind. So I think we have a lot of work ahead of us in the field. So that to me is my primary sort of takeaway, and also one that I think is relevant to have discussions with policymakers about.
Thanks a lot, Malin. Thanks a lot, Stefan, for participating to our show and presenting this special issue, Rural Entrepreneurship, Foundations and Future Directions During a Time of Transition. All our podcasts are available on entrepreneurship-ed.com and on the main podcast platforms.